God damn that gutless bastard!
Miles Halcombe snarled as he watched South Wind's topsails shrinking out on the dark blue waters of the bay. He stood at an upper window of the gray ship, a none-too-prosperous tavern on the outskirts of Hanthtown. Its location and general air of dilapidation didn't do much to attract trade, but at least it was out of the way of most of the shooting he could still hear as the last of Tadeo Montal's mercenaries tried to get out of town. That was about the best he could say for it, and he couldn't say a lot more for his own state at the moment, if he was going to be honest. Very few people would have recognized the powerful Bishop Miles if they'd seen him. His luxuriant, carefully trimmed beard had disappeared. The dramatic silver at his temples had been darkened by dye, and his exquisitely tailored cassock had been exchanged for the far simpler clothing of an only moderately successful farmer, or perhaps a minor merchant.
"Surely we've known for 5 days that this was coming, my lord," the much younger man standing with him observed.
Father Alvin Shumay looked even less like the bishop of Margaret Bay's personal aide than Halcombe looked like the bishop in question.
"It's been obvious from the beginning that Montale's only true loyalty is to himself."
"And that's supposed to make me feel better?"
Halcombe growled. He swung away from the window, turning his back on the fleeing galleon, and faced Shumay squarely.
"Not better, my lord." Shumay actually managed a smile. "But the writ does remind us that it's best to face the truth head-on, rather than deluding ourselves with wishful thinking, even on God's behalf."
Halcombe glared at him for a moment, but then the peppery little bishop's shoulders relaxed, at least marginally, and he produced a grimace that held at least a hint of an answering smile.
"Yes, it does say that," he acknowledged. "And I suppose I need to keep reminding myself that stripping away delusion is one of your best functions, even if it does make you an intolerable young whippersnapper on occasion."
"I try, my lord, to serve a useful function, that is, not to be intolerable."
"I know you do, Alvin."
Halcombe patted him lightly on the shoulder, then inhaled deeply, with the air of a man deliberately turning his thoughts away from anger and into some more productive endeavor.
"At least the way Montale's finally cut and run simplifies our own operations just a bit," he said. "Note that I didn't say it improves them, only that it simplifies them.
Forgive me, my lord, but I'm afraid I don't see how anything is particularly simple these days."
"Simpler isn't the same thing as simple."
Halcombe showed his teeth in a brief flash of a grin. "On the other hand, there's not much question that if Montale isn't going to stand and fight, we can't either. Not here, not now."
Shumay's eyes widened ever so slightly.
Halcombe's insistence that they could somehow build a fortress for the true church here in his diocese had been as unyielding as stone. The fiery sermons he'd preached in Hanth Cathedral had focused on both their responsibility and their ability to do just that.
"Oh, don't look so surprised," Halcombe half scolded. "There was never really much hope of holding off Caleb and that damned traitor Stainer. If I'd ever once admitted that, though, Montale would have disappeared even sooner. And if there wasn't much hope of it, there was still at least a chance, as long as Montale didn't run. But as you yourself just pointed out, there's no point deluding ourselves when reality hits us across the face. None of the other nobles in the diocese have the backbone to stand up to Caleb either, assuming any of them wanted to in the first place. And, to be honest, most of them don't want to. For that matter, at least 2/3 of them probably agree with him, the traitorous bastards. At the very least, they're going to take the easy way out and give him whatever he wants. Probably they figure that when Mother Church crushes him in the end, they'll be able to claim they only gave in to force majeure, despite their deep and heartfelt opposition to this apostasy. Montale was the only one of them who couldn't reach an accommodation with Caleb, even if he'd wanted to, assuming someone could somehow give him a sufficient infusion of guts to get him to stand and fight.
That's the real reason you and I have been anchored here in Hanth ever since Darko Sound.
I see, my lord, Shumei said slowly, as if he found his brain reordering the events of the past few months and what his bishop had had to say about them at the time in light of Halcombe's admission.
Don't misunderstand me, Alvin.
Halcombe's face had hardened once again, this time with harsh determination.
There's no question in my mind, nor doubt in my heart, about what it is God, Langhorn, and Mother Church expect of us. The only questions are how we go about accomplishing our tasks. Obviously, Montale's departure strongly suggests that building any center of open resistance to this accursed Church of Caris here around Margaret Bay isn't the way to do it. So the problem becomes what we do next.
And may I assume you have an answer to that in mind, my lord?